Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Chairman Rich Schaefer. He's from the Suffolk County Democratic Committee. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me today, Dan.
Listen, it's busy this year, right? We got midterm elections going on and everything else, and then all of the state elections that are going on and everything. So I know how busy you are. I appreciate you carving out some time to talk to us. Elections are just moments away, and I just want to get a sense from you, you know, where we're at.
Well, if you want, I can tell you that this year has been pretty much the year of elections every month, with all of the issues regarding redistricting and courts delaying and putting elections further out. We felt like we were doing campaigning round the clock this year, and it shouldn't be anything crazy to say that we've had elections throughout the year. We had two different primaries that had to be scheduled. We've had nominating conventions. So that all goes, I guess, hand in hand with COVID and the pandemic coming to an end. So people have been pretty much exhausted and are looking forward to next week when the final votes will be cast. Obviously, early voting is taking place now.
Sure.
The final votes will be cast on November 8th, and everyone will be able to put 2022 in the books. And I think both sides, you can ask my colleagues on the Republican side, that we'll be glad when 22 is over. We can move on to 23.
Sure. And, you know, you bring up redistricting, and it's just something I've been thinking about. You know, now with the Supreme Court looking at what's going to happen with who has the right to say if redistricting is or isn't good? Should it represent the voters and the population and the voters? Should it represent the parties and whatever else? I really haven't had time to look at any amicus briefs or anything to see if there's cogent arguments on either side or whatever else. But, I think of, you know, not to politicize this too much, but I think of like the courts in general. You know, you have, justices being blind and, you know, you've got the scales and the blindfold and it is what it is. But the Supreme Court has very much functioned in my lifetime as a political entity in a way. You know, when folks get nominated that have liberal views, it almost seems rather than it's counterintuitive to me. It seems as if the courts should just be blind on the issue, regardless of whether you're conservative or liberal or whatever else. The issue is before you, and you need to decide the issue.
Absolutely.
But it seems very politicized to me. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the Supreme Court in general, and especially on the districts.
Well, and you're not alone in that thought. And recently a poll came out that said that the Supreme Court was looking at its lowest ratings in its history. Usually Congress has the lowest ratings, but behind used car salesmen and politicians. The Supreme Court has its lowest ratings in history. And that's really sad for where we're at as a democracy, because one of the probably the most important things was to have the Supreme Court be out there as a body that was not looked upon as partisan. I do think that them looking at how redistricting is done is important. We just in Suffolk County, and I give credit to Jesse Garcia, my Republican counterpart, as well as myself and both of our teams, as well as the members of the Independent Redistricting Commission for the county legislature, we were able to come to an agreement where we believe we've got a pretty competitive map going into next year for both sides. And the map is going to be something where both sides are going to have to work and put their best candidates forward and be able to talk to the voters in those individual areas. And I think for the first time, as far as I know, we had redistricting done without it having to go to the courts. And I think we were able to show now, just as the state legislature failed in that, and the courts had to intercede, and they're still interceding to this day with the New York State Assembly lines, that we were able to do what the voters expect us to do, act like adults, come to a compromise, recognize that you're not going to get everything that you feel you should get. And the voters deserve competition, and I think that's what they're going to get in these county legislative races next year.
Sure. So, yeah, well, listen, we'll see if justice is blind on the Supreme Court side of things. And, you know, just a question to, you know, the lines in general, you know, and how, you know, the census kind of played into that. So 2020, we had the census.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're looking at a new snapshot of the population. And I guess that had to inform where the map lines would be drawn. And it's not something that I think the everyday person understands. And you wonder, okay, well, I used to be able to vote for so-and-so, but now I can't. And
we had that confusion this year with the new Senate lines. There were people who were in a particular Senate district being confused in August when I was asking them to vote in a different Senate district. And to explain simply, census is done every 10 years. It's required. By the federal government. When the census comes out, it shows where the population shifts have been within the county. So the county's pretty much stayed level in terms of population, maybe a couple of hundred thousand increase, but those district lines have to move to make sure that each district is the representative for each district represents an equal number of people. In our case, for the county legislature, it's about 85,000 people per district of the 18 districts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only have a certain small percentage deviation off of that. So now we were able to come up with these districts that are pretty much equal, 85,000. And the good part, which both sides agreed to, was that in the demographics of the county, we've seen a great increase in particularly the Hispanic population, Haitian population, some other cultural minorities, Asian population. And so out of the 18 districts, we were able to create four districts that put populations together where the four districts have a majority of minority residents in those districts. So you have a greater chance of electing someone of that background.
Sure.
To represent residents that live in those areas. And mostly that was in Huntington, Babylon, and Islip,
right,
which is where the bulk of the increases in the population, just speaking as supervisor, Babylon saw where we're now at about 20% of our population of the 220,000 residents identify as Hispanic, some background of Hispanic origin. So that's what was the beauty of us working together, because we recognized the fact that we needed to create competitive districts and recognize the shifting demographics in the county.
Sure. And you want people to be able to be represented, right? You know,
it makes it easier for them to participate.
Sure.
And if they think everything is stacked against them, they're not going to participate. So we could be in I could be an elected official in charge of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have people buying into the system that we've created, which is our democracy. So
Right. If
you just kind of, you know, have them feel that it's all stacked against them at the outset and there's no way for them to compete or be involved or speak out, then it's going to fall apart. And I think that's what you're seeing with Congress. And it's both sides, shame on both sides for not recognizing what their ultimate responsibility is, which is to pay attention to the people who put them there.
Sure. So, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about candidates. And, you know, there are candidates that are going to be elected from Suffolk County to represent the state. But then there are statewide elected officials. And, you know, two in particular really of interest to me is what your take is on Governor Hochul and what your take is on Comptroller DiNapoli.
Right. So Governor Hochul, I think, has done a tremendous job in a very short period of time. I'm excited to have been one of the first county chairs to come out in support of her. In fact, she and I had a conversation back in 2020 where I said to her, I didn't think that former Governor Andrew Cuomo was going to be able to run for a fourth term. Not because it was Andrew Cuomo, but because I think people after three terms of a governor tend to kind of lose interest, not be happy with some of the decisions that are made, and things accumulate against that particular person. And we saw that with his father. I was there in 1994 when Rudy Giuliani was endorsing Mario Cuomo and they were trying to kind of resurrect and put together that campaign for a fourth term. And it went very poorly. Obviously, he wasn't reelected. And that was the year that Newt Gingrich took over the Congress. So there was a lot of shifting of political alliances then. And so I said to her in 2020, I said, if you're ready to go as lieutenant governor, I think you've done a tremendous job. She was heading up ESD, which is the Empire State Development. That was the arm of the state government that was providing millions upon millions of dollars for economic development projects here on Long Island. Her and Kevin Law worked closely together with Stu Rabinowitz, the former university president at Hofstra, and really pushed a lot of what we're seeing, the Ronkonkoma Hub, the Third Track Project, all of these different things that are leading to improved economic conditions on the island that had been stalled for so many years. She was the leader of that.
Right.
So I look at her as not needing on-the-job training. She was the lieutenant governor. She served very ably. And she, in her own right, had a lot of leadership positions that she held as lieutenant governor that demonstrated how she can do as governor. And I think we're seeing that now. She's done a lot to clean up the mess that they created under bail reform, which was really a poor way of them advancing bail reform. Everybody on both sides recognized that something needed to be done on bail reform, not the way they did it. And the way they did it was they snuck it in the dead of night, made all the changes and expected everybody to buy into it. And now we've seen the results of that. And you've even got people like Eric Adams speaking out and saying that even more changes needed to be made. The governor, when she came in, taking over for former Governor Cuomo, said that was one of the first things she needed to do, and she did that.
Sure.
As well as she's not forgotten the island in terms of environmental improvements. She's sponsored the Environmental Bond Act, which is going to be on the ballot. Turn your ballot over first. Vote yes. This is picking up where Governor Pataki left off. So Governor Pataki back in 1996 got the state legislature to approve a bond act that is about to expire. So if we don't renew this bond act, we will not have funds that are necessary to do all of the environmental remediation programs, land purchases, cleanup of the bay or the sound. And so Governor Hochul shepherded that through the state legislature. So I really think that she's demonstrated in a real short period of time and having to pick up at a moment's notice to be the governor, demonstrated capability and why we should elect her for her own 4-year term to serve as our governor. Now, Tom DiNapoli, it goes without saying, and you and I are both members of the pension fund.
Sure.
If there's any one elected official who I've met in my lifetime that has done beyond 100% of his job, 100% of the time, it's Tom DiNapoli. And I've known him for probably now 40 years. It's in his blood. He is the most honorable person I've met. And that's the person that you want running the largest pension fund, probably right behind California, in the United States. And so Tom has demonstrated how ably he's done that job. I feel protected for my future, my family's future, as well as the you and your members. And so I think it goes without saying that it's a no-brainer that that Tom, I think, will do well. And he'll probably lead the ticket of the statewide officials.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. You know?
Correct.
And that's someone, by the way, with the tremendous responsibilities that he has always found the time, you know, when I need to reach out and speak about some of these global issues that aren't just affecting AME, but affecting public employees across the state. And he's always got time. We have direct conversations. If he doesn't have an answer, he says, I'll get back to you. And then he immediately does. I mean, just a genuinely
great he knows specifics about your members.
Yes.
Like if we brought him in right now, he'd be able to talk to you about some of the specific things either that you've brought up to him or that he's aware of issues that affect your members. So that's the type of public servant you want because he lives, eats, breathes this.
Sure.
And like I said, most importantly, he's honest and highly ethical. He's always been known as that. And you can't get a Republican to say something bad about him. And you can just talk to any of the Nassau Republicans who have worked with him over the years, and they'll tell you the same thing. Look, there's a candidate against him. I couldn't tell you the name of that candidate against him, but I can tell you that for the most part, everybody recognizes that, that Tom DiNapoli is a once-in-a-lifetime public official that you get to meet.
Sure. And, you know, I just speaking on Kathy Hochul, you know, as governor, again, a short
piece of time and just my observation, you know, having to jump in and do that job and correct a bunch of things that are going wrong, she still, to me, this is what's most impressive, demonstrated vision, right? There is planning and there is future thought in all of what she's doing. And that's no easy task. You know, I mean, I think we all in life at certain points in time, whether it's personal or professional, we get thrust into these new situations and off you have to go. And it usually takes a little while before you get your feet under you and you start thinking about the future. I mean, she came in right out of the gate thinking about the future. That's very impressive. That's, you know, to me, that's governor material.
Right. Absolutely. And I think she wasn't just thinking about that in August of last year, but I think she was planning for if there was ever a potential to have to step into the governor's office, that this is how she would want to do it.
Sure. Yeah. No, I got to tell you, it's very impressive, you know, just on a professional level, just to be able to see that unfold. There are very few people that can uniquely handle that. And like I say, have, you know, opinions on current things that need to be addressed and setting things up for the future. But, you know, now we're getting into, you know, the actual districts in Suffolk County. And we've got, you know, Senates and assembly seats that are out there and are, you know, there have been some interesting races so far, interesting comments. I know there was a primary that was fairly interesting to me. But let's just talk about, I mean, I guess we could start with the Senate. Any candidates that really?
Sure. Yeah, no. And look, we have four Senate districts. Actually, I guess you could consider it maybe close to five, but I would say that Monica Martinez, who was in the Senate, lost her reelection in a district that was pretty much Islip and Brookhaven based.
Right.
Now is running in a district because of the demographic shifts that's Islip and Babylon based. And like I said, referring back to the Hispanic, the increase in the Hispanic population. So Monica ran in the primary against an assembly incumbent who decided to waste all of our time on that primary because he was at the same time running for reelection to his assembly seat. And I've known him for a million years, and everybody, I guess, has to get it out of their system
right. And
do what they have to do. But we won handily in that primary, and Monica is our nominee, and I believe she'll be the elected senator, and that's a good thing because I believe that she and maybe Skylar Johnson, who's running in the first Senate district, has a good shot. Susan Berland is running in the second district, which is Huntington and Smithtown. So Susan has name recognition, but her problem is that Smithtown is very Republican and adds to that district. If she were just running in Huntington, my bet would be on Susan because of her experience, her background, and the knowledge that people have of the work that she's done.
Sure.
But I think that we have definitely positive, almost close to as you can get, 100% shot at Monica being elected. And then on the outliers, Skylar and Susan for the Senate. The good news of having Monica, though, is she'll join the majority.
Right.
And it's always good to have a majority senator in the majority who can work with both sides.
Right.
So we're going to have a county executive's race next year. There will be a brand new county executive. It could be whoever the Democrats, our side, nominates,
sure,
or whoever the Republican. And you want that person, just for all of our benefit, and not only your members, but just the county in general.
Right.
You want that person to be able to have a majority senator who can work on budget items, policy issues, and because at the end of the day, we all are political and we have competitive races and we run the campaigns. But at the end of the day, and I'm speaking now as a town supervisor and a former county legislator, you want the county executive, whoever's leading our county, to be able to have the best access to what's going on in Albany, to have his or her concerns heard and addressed so that he or she and the county legislature together can solve the problems that face all of us here in Suffolk County.
And that's the business of government, right? You know, you hear that expression.
It's the meshing. It's the meshing of government. Everybody says, how are you the political leader and the town supervisor? Well, because the town supervisor is a political animal, as is the political leader. It's all got to work together. Mm-hmm. And in Babylon, we've demonstrated over the years that, you can have political campaigns. You can go and put on the war paint and the you know, the hockey gloves, and let's go out there and battle and get your people out to the polls so that you get your candidates elected. But there are times when they elect members of the opposite party, and that doesn't mean that then you spend the next 2 or 4 years not working with them,
right?
Because we have many issues that have to be responded to. So, again, at the end of the day, I think it would be important, and that's why the Monica race is critical, to get someone who will be in the in the majority. And Susan and Skylar, I believe, have outside shots at their races.
Sure. And, you know, so on the assembly side, you know, again, there is a overwhelming number of Democrats in the assembly.
So there is the difference there is to make sure you have more suburban Democrats than city centric Democrats. And this is where I get myself in trouble every now and then. But I don't mind, because I've been a believer of this since I got involved in politics, probably at age 12 or 13, all the way up until now. And that in the assembly, it's important to have, and I'm glad we have Carl Hastie, who went to Stony Brook, who's familiar with Long Island, has family members who live out here. And I can always get on the phone with him and vent about something going on where the city assembly people tend to try and overwhelm us. So it's important to reelect Steve Englebright, because he's got major seniority. He's the chairman of the NCON committee, and he's represented. I served on the legislature with him, represented his district well. It's important to reelect Fred Thiel, Steve Stern, Kimberly Jean-Pierre, because all of them are in leadership positions there. And Phil Ramos, who's in his district in Brentwood, he's the deputy speaker in leadership.
Right.
So all of us, all of our members in the assembly have great credibility with the speaker in leadership positions and can deliver working together with Monica for what Suffolk County needs. And so, and that's important for them to tip the balance to what suburban interests need to be addressed, as opposed to just New York City.
I got to say, that's a very bright population of people you just mentioned.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, I'm very happy with all of them. I've either served with them or have worked with them. I served with Fred. I served with Steve Stern, Steve Englebright, and work with Kim and Phil. So I think that helps us kind of complement what we would have going on in the Senate. And, again, giving the new county executive next year, whoever he or she is, the ability to work with people in both houses to get issues addressed that need to be addressed here.
Sure. And, you know, if it's not apparent to our listeners, you know, we have AME members listening, but we also have just folks in the general public listening. And if it's not immediately apparent, you know, as you raise the point about, you know, the next county executive, you know, that's very much of interest and should be obvious of interest to us, because that will be the county executive that we're dealing directly with. We're going to be negotiating with. We're going to be, you know, doing all these things. But on the state level, making sure that the business of government gets done and that there are, you know, bright people, capable people that understand their districts, that are going to be there to represent their population and also sit in a majority position where they can actually get things done, where things don't get, you know, maybe so locked.
Right, and know how to work the levers of government. So the smartest assembly person is the one who knows how to get something done.
Sure.
And how to be able to put your colleagues' votes together. So you need someone who's got a good personality, who's not despised by everybody, and who knows how to work the levers of government. And so when you have that, and we have that in those members we've mentioned, and I'm glad that your members have decided to endorse them for their reelection, because I think your members recognize and your board recognizes that they've been there for you on either individual bills that have come up or just a general labor-friendly, working-class men and women issues that come before them. They're more times than not on the side of working men and women.
Yeah, and being able to get these things done, you know, on a state level makes it easier to get things done on a county level. So every bit of help that we get And that's why, you know, as AME and a bunch of other labor unions, and people don't necessarily always understand this, we get involved in state politics. Although our populations may be local, we understand that to get things done on a local level, you need the state. And to have those good working relationships and to have qualified, capable people that know how to do this job and get it done and deliver for their residents, well, they're delivering for residents across the state. You know, sometimes when you sit on a particular committee on the state level, it isn't just for Suffolk County. You make decisions for things that affect people across the state. So it's a big job. It's an interesting job. There's a lot of moving parts, as you say. But I think that's a great group of candidates. And again, I mean, we talk about Governor Hochul. We talk about Tom DiNapoli. And by the way, I would not bet against you on Tom DiNapoli. I think he will be the
leading
number one vote getter
yes.
for sure. You know, and it, you know, again, decades of tried and true proof.
Right.
So, you know, listen, I mean, is there anything, I guess, that we really haven't touched on this morning that you think is important people need to know about this?
No, look, I think as I said, early voting's going on right now. So you can check the Suffolk County Board of Elections website, suffolkvotes.com. I believe it's up and running, contrary to the county's IT problems. It's got a temporary site out there, but it's directing you to that temporary site. And you can find out where in your locality you can early vote and then vote on election day at your regular polling place. But make sure you vote because, again, everyone was stepping all over themselves to vote in the presidential election. They were waiting in lines in the rain.
Right.
Then when we get to the real local elections, which would be next year, 25% of the electorate shows up. In the gubernatorial year, usually have about 50%. But we want to push that up because we want to show people that that everybody is engaged and it's mm-hmm. important to be engaged if you want to have a say in what goes on.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's very important. And I think the more people can know, and this is some of what we try and do with this show, the more people can know about how things really work, the more they're going to be interested in being part of the process and realize that, you know, just getting out, it seems like a simple thing. Once a year, go cast your vote. Learn a little bit about what the issues are. Learn a little bit about the candidates. Spend a little time on a line. Scribble in your little dots and cast your vote because this is your democracy, mm-hmm. right? It's yours. It belongs to you, and you should participate.
Absolutely.
Richie, our guest this morning, Rich Schaefer, chairman of the Suffolk County Democratic Committee, also town supervisor in the town of Babylon. I want to thank you. I know it's an incredibly busy time carving out some time to be with us today. I absolutely appreciate.
No, and thanks for what AME does by sponsoring this. It's very important, like you said, to get information out not only to your members, but to the general population so that people can make informed choices as to who they want to support. In candidates and be involved.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And to our listeners, we will speak to you next week.